This is a contribution from the National Laboratory for Agriculture and the Environment. I would like to mention my co-authors, Dr. Tom Sauer, Jerry Hatfield, and John Pruger. This project is important, this topic is important, because stability conditions in atmospheric surface layer can determine the direction and the momentum transport for a contaminant. We know that. And also we know that most of the time confined animal facilities are a source of air contaminants, dust or odor. However, we don't know how much, we don't know very well how those processes take place. We don't know how that works. So this study focused on doing measurements of atmospheric stability all year round to determine the patterns of that that atmospheric surface, atmospheric stability, and compare it to an adjacent cornfield in central Iowa. Let me give details. Let me describe the study site. This is a commercial farm near Bone in Iowa. And then measurements were done from July 2008 to July 2009. And this commercial farm has three different swine finisher buildings, and they are separated by 18 meters distance. There is also vegetative buffers located to the north and to the west sides of this swine farm. And also we use the adjacent commercial cornfield to establish our experiment. I would like to describe the field instrumentation. We deploy two towers for micrometeorological measurement as well as one weather station. One of the towers was 20 meters high and was instrumented in between the two of the buildings. The other tower was 10 meters high and was established in the cornfield, in the adjacent cornfield. The distance between the two towers is about 500 meters, so that they are very close to each other, however, representing two different surfaces. And also we established a weather station for various weather variables measurements. Let me give more details about the instrumentation in that site. We installed in each of the two towers six COP anemometers and six thermocouples for wind profile and thermal profile measurements, and they were distributed in a log distributed hiles with six and six sensors each. We also, in each of the two towers, installed a decoverian system, a 3D sonic anemometer, for continuous measurements. We also have infrared thermometers for different surfaces, for the roof buildings, as well as for the soil and the canopy. Let me give some details about the wind direction at that site. You can see the distribution of the wind through the whole year. It doesn't differ that much between the two sites. Just to make the point that in the summer, most of the wind came from the southeast, and during the winter, as expected, it came from the northwest those two sites, the cornfield and the swine facility. Going back to the atmospheric stability parameters, we calculate two different stability parameters. One of them is the gradient Richardson numbers using the wind profile and thermal profiles. And this calculation essentially uses the top and the bottom of the profiles for both for temperature, but also for horizontal wind speed. And it also takes into account the high of the sensors in each of the two towers. The other parameters that we estimated was the Z over L parameter, and there are a couple constants there, but the two more key factors in this calculation is the sensible heat, because it represents a gradient or thermal gradient, and also the friction velocity. Those are the main drivers for this Z over L parameter for atmospheric stability. After doing the calculations, we classify the whole year of data, 15 minutes time steps, in 10 different atmospheric stability classes in these intervals. And we went ahead and did a frequency analysis just to see which cases were more frequent over those two different surfaces, the cornfield versus the swine facility. And as you can see here, most of the cases over the swine facility were predominantly unstable. It showed a predominance on unstable or very unstable cases. And the cornfield, in contrast, show much more tendency for stable cases. So there is a strong contrast there between the two surfaces with respect to atmospheric stability. Because gradient Richardson numbers use the profiles for wind speed, horizontal wind speed, and thermal profiles, it represents much more the local atmospheric conditions. But C over L, using eddy covariance, has potential limitation with respect to footprint. Footprint sampling for eddy covariance can be beyond the extension of the swine facility at some point, which is uncertain. And that's why in the rest of my presentation, I'm going to focus mostly in the Richardson numbers because we have more certainty that's representing the local conditions at the two different sites. Let me show the monthly patterns of Richardson numbers. See, here we have the 13 month of data that we collected, and it shows that consistently in the swine facility, atmospheric stability was more unstable with respect or compared to the cornfield. The other point that I wanted to make here is that we have two variables here in the lower panel. One of them is the horizontal wind speed, and the other is the friction velocity. As you can see, although the horizontal wind speed between buildings or in the swine facility was lower, so it was less windy, the friction velocity was higher. So compared to the cornfield, we have conditions of less wind but more turbulence in between buildings, and that's going to be very important for and the next discussion in the rest of the presentation. Here we are going to look at one of the most interesting results from this experiment, which is the 24-hour cycles of this atmospheric stability. So we selected three different intervals representing different times of the year. We have kind of late summer, and then winter, and early or middle spring, and trying to do average of 20 days there. So we have a very strong average there of several continuous days of data. And what we can see here is that in general, compared to the cornfield during the daytime shows some tendency for unstable cases, but in the swine facility, it was much more unstable during the daytime. So it's perhaps favoring the vertical ascendant transport or fluctuation of the air right there. So and that's a very interesting pattern. And that showed to happen not only in August, but also in the winter and the early spring. Perhaps the in May interval was the most intensive with respect to that difference. So compared to the cornfield during the daytime, the swine facility is much more unstable. But the other interesting result of this analysis is that during the early night, it becomes rather very, very stable compared to the cornfield. So it just switched drastically to the other atmospheric conditions. So it's so variable and within any given day, and that makes it very interesting, those two features of the daytime versus the early night conditions. We also have the measurements for radiometric temperature. And in these measurements of radiometric temperature, well, we have the measurements for the different roof. And as expected, the roof facing the sun, facing the south, got higher temperatures. But the other interesting feature is that, and it can be seen very clear here in the May interval, the very interesting feature is that the ground was much colder in the early night with respect to the roof. So the ground, which is covered by short grass, cooled down very quickly compared to the roof in those buildings. As you can imagine, inside the roof, Well, it's not only that the roof is in metal, but also inside the buildings we have a heat produced by the animals and also the equipment that is functioning inside the buildings and so forth. So that's a very interesting pattern there showing here for the early night. So we have been looking at friction velocity data, also at radiometric data, and stability values for gradient Richardson numbers. So now we want to integrate that information. So let's say that here in the vertical, in the horizontal axis, we have the friction velocity. As you can see, with high friction velocity, or which is a proxy for turbulence, we can say that in general we have very unstable conditions, so favoring vertical transport. However, with a more lower turbulence, then it becomes less unstable. It's still unstable, but less unstable. But the most interesting feature here of this interaction between friction velocity and radiometric data is that when the friction velocity is low and at the same time we have roof temperatures higher than ground temperatures in between the buildings, then it becomes very, very stable. And that is just reflecting the conditions for the early night. So during those early nights, then the two factors are driving that those very stable conditions: low friction velocity and as well as having higher temperatures in the roof relative to the ground. And this is important because neighbors might start complaining about odor in the early night. Why? Well, because those conditions are driving more horizontal flow of the air. And that laminar flow of air and transporting other constituents to across the landscape might be generating problems for the neighbors if we are having any complaints from the neighbors around. So that's kind of trying to build some understanding using more than one variable, in this case, friction velocity and radiometric temperatures related to atmospheric stability. Just to start finishing here and the presentation, we can say that, okay, during the day we have intense production of heat, not only because we have solar radiation, but also inside the buildings we have some the generation of heat, and that might be favoring very unstable conditions during the day. But also, that very unstable conditions during the day might be favoring the transport, the vertical transport of pollutants, and that's related to both. Perhaps it's related to both a mixing of air contaminants with the atmospheric surface layer, and that might be an advantage if we think that, okay, if we have mixing and dilution, then concentrations will be lower, and then other will be just diluted. However, that same process of having plumes, vertical plumes, leaving the swine facility surface might be moving dust. And that dust might be transporting sorb pollutants, kind of a facilitated transport to a farther distances. In addition to that, in the early night, as we commented before, maybe that it becomes so stable that laminar flow of pollutants from that swine facility might be traveling in the surrounding landscape, and it might be going very far depending on the surrounding landscape. And most of the time we think in Iowa as a very flat place, but actually we have a rolling landscape, and depending on the landscape and also vegetation, those pollutants in the early night can be traveling very far, very close to the surface, and it might reach houses around, and that might be the problem for those people living nearby. To finish, I also would like to acknowledge technical support as well as to the production farmer that allow us to do this study. Thank you.
We have one or two questions for.
My name is Ken from Tuesday. I have two things to ask. First thing is, I think there is a plant lager near Three Farms, right? So I'm just wondering, do you
say that again, please?
Concern about lager surface area? And also there is air ventilation from Three Farms. So did you consider those factors?
The air ventilation for the thing? Yes, this building has a total of 6 fans, each one. 4 of them are for the houses and 2 of them are for the manure storage. And the manure storage is beneath, it's a pit manure. How far is our measurement? So
yes, usually swine facility has the lagoon area, right?
Lagoon for, oh yeah, this doesn't have lagoon. Yeah, that's a very important point. Many swine facilities have a lagoon for manure storage. However, in this case, swine buildings have has what is called a pit manure. It's a pit storage. It's a compartment below the building. It's like maybe it's several feet deep. And they store the manure maybe six months or so. So it's not a lagoon storage. We don't have a lagoon storage. It's that would be a different scenario, which is very interesting to be studied, right? But we don't have that case. And it's a very good question.